السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome, مرحبا بكم, أهلا وسهلا. Hopefully everyone is doing well. Another night with all of you brothers and sisters joining us from different parts of the country or different parts of the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you once again for your commitment and dedication to joining these programs. Once again, I'm surprised that mashallah everyone's still here. You know, it's a blessing that mashallah we have people like all of you joining us on a nightly basis, twice a night, once at 9:15, once at 12, 10-ish, 12 o'clock, 12 a.m. for these nightly lectures. You know, for me, this year it has been very different in the sense that we also have our Taraweeh prayers. So but I just finished my Taraweeh and then we start this. Normally, every single night in the masjid, we have like a short tafsir session afterwards. So I haven't been able to do that in these last few nights because, alhamdulillah, I'm joining everyone over here. It's a blessing. May Allah reward you all. And inshallah, may Allah bless you all for joining. As you're joining, just let us know that you're on. Say assalamu alaikum. You know, I don't have the heavy and, you know, overpowering presence like Sheikh Abdullah when he welcomes everyone. But we'll do what we can. So jazakallah khair for joining. Inshallah, today we will continue that same series of the classroom of the Sahaba. And we'll talk about another best amal or most beloved amal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just quickly, who was on from here in the moments of the Quran session? Who was on? Just want to get a quick, you know, head count. Were some people on for the moments of the Quran session as well? Or are we just joining? We got a Sheikh Dawood fan club. That's where you go. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Now we're being respectful to our guests. Okay, alhamdulillah. Inshallah, you all enjoyed that as well. So, bismillah, without any further delay, I'm going to bring on our esteemed guest, Sheikh Dawood. But for you, for those of you that know him, alhamdulillah, you know him. For those of you that don't, basawfa ta'arifuhu, you'll soon find out who he is. Sheikh Dawood Butt has been serving the North American region specifically, but all across the world for the last decade, if not more. You know, he looks very young, so it's hard to tell, mashallah. He's graduated from, you know, the most prestigious university in the world, Medina University, and then he studied in Malaysia, taught there for many years, and he's been a part of Al-Kawthar and Al-Maghrib for many years as well. Right now, he's serving as a resident scholar in a masjid in Milton, which is near Mississauga. For those Canadians, anyone that knows where Milton is, make some noise, because very few of you might know where Milton is. if you know, please let us know you know where Milton is. Inshallah, we'll be blessed with having him on today. He also joins us and teaches with us in the Miftah online program. We're blessed. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Sheikh.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you?
I hope you're doing all right, man. Alhamdulillah, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, doing good. Alhamdulillah. Ramadan is most kind. Alhamdulillah.
Ramadan is most kind. Ramadan is most kind. Ramadan also is very fast.
It is.
You know, it's
that's why we fast.
That's why it's as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, hey man, you're fasting all day, so I'll make it easier for you. I'll make it go fast.
Alhamdulillah.
You know, but you know, it's not, I mean, it's interesting that as the nights you know, or as we're counting them down, you start getting very sad. Like, man, I wish we had a few more days, a few more nights. And hopefully that feeling allows us to take full advantage of these last few nights. Yeah, at least we can have that feeling in the month of Ramadan, not after the month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah. Sheikh, how's Canada been?
Alhamdulillah, good. Milton is the fastest growing town in all of Canada. So
really, Sheikh? Oh,
people,
man.
People are fully aware of where Milton is.
Okay. My bad, Sheikh. Man, I apologize. We study in a small city called Ajax. And now Ajax is a pretty big city too now, mashallah. So everything is growing in Canada. Alhamdulillah, man. But you guys are on shutdown, Sheikh. Yesterday we had Sheikh Naveed Aziz on. And he was telling us, like, it's been pretty rough even in, like, Alberta and Ontario, all over.
They actually have it pretty good compared to us.
Really?
Yeah. They just sort of went into like a somewhat of a lockdown recently, but we've been in it for over a month now. This is our third time. The Toronto area has had the longest lockdown in the entire North America. Yeah.
Sheikh, our numbers are pretty high. No one's trying to fight it off or something, or is it just everyone's accepting it? Like in America,
I think you said it right. No one is trying to fight it off. Everyone's embracing it. They're like, COVID, bismillah. it's like we're welcoming COVID in Toronto.
Welcome. Like in Texas, they try to have another shutdown. And the Texanians, I'm not sure if I'm saying it right. The people of Texas said no more. And they just came out, man. And there was a Texas Rangers game, which is a baseball game. And they're like 50,000 fans that were there. Like this is like right bam smack in the middle of COVID. So, you know, Americans have their own way of dealing with things.
But 50,000, mashallah, we're only allowed 10. Not 10,000, 10, period.
Oh, man. Alhamdulillah, Allah give you guys patience and sabr. Over here, we're still having our Taraweeh prayers and everything is not normal, but at least, you know, semi-normal, Sheikh. Sheikh, you joined us before as well with Sheikh Abdullah. We talked about pre-Ramadan. I heard that was a beautiful session. I wasn't able to be on that, but mashallah, everyone enjoyed it. And Sheikh Dawood had another marriage class with us. And everyone joined that marriage class, Sheikh.
Alhamdulillah.
I mean, those are topics, and you are a Sheikh that connects with the audience within those topics. May Allah bless you, Sheikh. Sheikh, today, we're just going to get right into it. If you see, Sheikh, we have this, we have someone that is Sheikh Dawood fan club. So what's happening here is we normally have me, Sheikh Abdullah Mufid Rahman, like, firstly, my brother's name is Bajan. So we had a Bajan fanboy. And then there was another Bajan fanboy. Then there was a Mufti Saab fanboy. So my brother told him yesterday that whenever a guest comes on, we must have someone who is the guest's fan club. So now, mashallah, they listen correctly, right? So I'm excited to have you on, Sheikh. Alhamdulillah. Sheikh Huna, so just, you know, right, to just jump right into it. We've been doing these ahadith every single day. Today's ahadith is a more famous one that people have heard of, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was asked about the best amal, he told us that أحب الأعمال إلى الله أدومها وإن قل, that the most beloved act to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an act which is done with consistency, though it may be less. Right? Like, so even though it's less, it's still beloved to Allah because the person has the right regime, the right routine, and he or she does it for a long period of time. Sheikh, when you think of this hadith, what is the first thing that you think of, and where does your mind go? And how can you connect your thoughts, inshallah, hopefully benefit everyone while they're here?
Bismillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah, ma ba'd. To be honest, I'll be very frank, and I think that's like the students at Miftah know me for that. Like, you just got to say it straight. The deen is simple. You know, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, you know, so many different aspects of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you ask this question, like, what is the first thing that pops into your mind when you hear this hadith? This hadith is one of my favorite hadiths. And I'll be totally honest with you. The first thing that always pops into my head is miswak.
Wow.
Seriously, really? Miswak. Whenever I hear this hadith, since I was maybe 13 or 14 years old, when I first heard this hadith, I had a miswak in my pocket all the time at that age. And, you know, I always used to keep it in my mouth. I go to high school even, and I have a miswak in my mouth. And I just love cleaning my teeth with a miswak.
SubhanAllah.
I just really love it.
Behind the ear too.
No, not me, man. The miswak sells in my right pocket. That's where it is. Alhamdulillah. But SubhanAllah, like the thing that always popped in my head since I was a teenager is miswak. Whenever I hear this hadith, and it's not because that's the only thing. It's the simplicity of it. Like the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with us doing the simplest of things, but doing them right and doing them consistently. Like, you know, another example is putting on your socks, right? You're going to put the right one on first before the left one. And you will make it a point throughout your whole life to always start with the right and then proceed with the left. Or if you're exiting the bathroom, you start with the left. You know, you're entering the bathroom, you start with the left and then proceed with the right. Mm-hmm. So just doing these little things, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with it, you know, I see these as those little actions that we could do in our lives that when we get older and they're too difficult for us to actually do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us with the rewards for doing them, even though we can't do them.
Sheikh, that's a very interesting take. Like, the way you took this is like, let's not focus on istiqama in perhaps the more difficult things. So let's just talk about istiqama in the simpler things. Let's just start with that, and hopefully that can lead to much bigger things, right? Because it's easier, naturally, it's easier to have istiqama on some of those small, like, I wouldn't say easier things, but, you know, day-to-day things that we have in our lives, like miswak or putting your right foot, right shoe on first. Sheikh, what's one other sunnah that you find, like, you've, like, held close to you since you were, you know, a student of knowledge and now a sheikh and imam? Like, what's one thing that you find extremely beneficial, like, just holding it close to yourself, and you encourage your children to have it, your students?
Lots. You know what? It's always the little ones. It's the little sunnah. So, you know, to answer your question, when you finish making wudu, you know, just looking at the sky and raising your shahada finger and just saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Simple, easy, but make it a habit in your life. Do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's those little deeds. You know, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he mentions that a person will come on the day of judgment and they'll see, you know, they would think to themselves that it's the large sins that, or the major sins that would drive them to get into Jahannam. But in fact, they would come in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and see a massive mountain of little tiny sins, like little sins here and there that they thought were insignificant, right? Like, you know, someone who does something wrong and does it regularly, you know, just swears when they want, or, you know, rolls their eyes at their parents and stuff like that, the little things. And it's those little sins, but they're so much, they're so plentiful that will be the thing that takes them to Jahannam. And he mentions the same thing with regards to the good deeds. It'll be the little deeds, the little things. Like, you go for Hajj and you'll go once in your life. But think of the amount of times that you raise your shahada finger and, you know, you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after making wudu. Or, you know, like I said, start with your right foot and then your left foot. Or, you know, your dua entering the masjid and exiting the masjid and beginning eating your food, right? And saying dua when you drink milk and looking in the mirror and putting on your clothes. It's those little things that subhanAllah will, you know, take us.
And pretty much they become second nature, right, Sheikh, in many ways. They become, like, if a person does them, and I believe it was Sheikh Omar who mentioned this once on our live. He said that, you know, a person,
I got to go now.
But by the way, everyone, it was Sheikh Abdullah who was playing with the screen and, you know, messing us up.
I was trying to get your attention.
Alhamdulillah. How are you, Sheikh? Alhamdulillah. I'm good.
MashaAllah, good to see you.
Alhamdulillah. Man, you guys got some good quality cameras going on down there, huh?
No, it's fine, Sheikh. That's what we'll have. I'm on a Surface. I'm on a laptop.
Alhamdulillah. You got the blue lights in the background though, man.
Yeah. Those lights change. They change, Sheikh. So, like, sometimes you make some green, sometimes you make, it depends on his mood.
All right, I got them too.
You're not the only one, Bajan.
You gotta do it for the audience. You know, give them the ambiance.
Yeah, you gotta create the right setting. You know, when you start talking about marriage, you switch it to red. When you start talking about Jahannam, you turn it to actually that would be red too.
Orange,
a different level of red.
I don't like to put marriage and Jahannam together, but hey,
some spouses will be happy to throw their spouses in Jahannam.
I was about to say something, but I held back. But you didn't, man. MashaAllah. You know, I absolutely love you.
How's it going? How's life?
Alhamdulillah, life is lonely. We've been in lockdown for the longest time. So, yeah, this is my corner. This little corner, this is where I live.
But you don't call us, man. You're not lonely. You don't give us any attention, man. You're a busy guy. You have those kids there making those. I show my wife and my kids the YouTube videos of your daughters. That is the cutest thing in the world. You know about this, Mufti Wahab?
No, I didn't.
No, just for 1 minute. Tell my brother this so the audience can also hear it.
So our daughters, Marwa and Lina, they actually have their own YouTube channel. They love baking. So check it out. It's Marwa and Lina's Kitchen. They started baking when they were children. We homeschool them. So we teach them basically the same subjects you would learn in school. We don't go through books. We teach them real life stuff. So if they need to know math and weight and, like, how much is an ounce and how much is a gram? Well, they learn it through baking. They learn it through changing tires on the car with me and stuff like that. Well,
you got a modern day Montessori in your house, Sheikh.
You got to, you know, if you're going to be a parent, you got to be a parent, right?
Alhamdulillah. You're bringing the best people on this top 10.
These
yesterday, Imam Dawood today, before Ubaydullah Evans, Imam Masmari. Man, I don't feel like you don't need me. I'm Mufti Dohab messages me, and every time I tell him I'm not coming on the top 10, and he said you have to come. I'm like,
yeah, Shabla has to come. Where else? You know, we won't get the ambiance.
I'm just like, I have to comply because he will fire me, and I won't have a salary.
We'll get the ambiance. He's kidding, man. You know how Sheikh Abdullah is in front of the screen. Behind the screen, he's gonna beat me up. But let's Sheikh. You know, what are you drinking, Sheikh? Is that just normal water, or is that something special?
My students from Miftah know very well. Let's test them and see. So these students who attended my class, Tafsir of Surah Yasin, they should know what this is.
Come on, please. Hopefully we have some students that pay attention.
So I'll put it here to show that it's not clear. Right?
I'm sure we have some students on, Sheikh. MashaAllah, our students are, you know, they're dedicated to joining most of our sessions.
It's just coconut water, alhamdulillah.
Oh, it's coconut water.
I drink coconut, you know, since I lived in Malaysia, we lived in Malaysia from 2010 to 2014. Yeah, there we go, see?
There we go.
SubhanAllah, I used to drink a coconut a day, like a fresh coconut, just stick a straw in there and drink it. And since I came back to Canada, I've just been drinking coconut water at least 500 milliliters every single day. Alhamdulillah.
That's why you're 80 years old and you look like you're 20.
Yeah, that's it, man. I'm actually 85.
Oh, man. Sheikh, man. May Allah keep you looking young, inshallah.
I got to compete with you guys, you know. So I make dua, ya Allah, please make me look younger than these guys.
No. I love that.
Just jumping back into it, like the hadith that we're doing today is أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَانِ اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلْبِ, right? So like this concept of istiqama, and Sheikh Dawood was just speaking about how like it's the little things that if we're consistent.
It's basically about this topic right here. Where you donate a little bit every month for the rest of your life. Right,
that's absolutely it. You know what? It's, you're absolutely right. SubhanAllah. Like,
Sheikh, you don't have to push that. It's okay.
I'm not pushing it. But okay. You know, I think of this all the time. Like, if you look at the amount of subscribers, I don't know how many subscribers you have to, like, let's say your Facebook or YouTube channels and stuff like that. Alhamdulillah, I haven't looked at it, and I'm sure you're both humble enough to not say anything about it. But, you know, if each one of the subscribers was to give just like a dollar a day or even a dollar a month, you know, the amount of things that we can do as a Muslim community, SubhanAllah, is just absolutely amazing. And it just takes a little bit. And it's the regular things. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah in everything, right?
Sheikh, if you say anything else about donations, Sheikh Abdullah is going to hire you full time. He's going to say, forget it, man. Just we need you, long term as well for this.
I mean, that's the key. People sometimes, you guys already talked about this, people get so excited after a speech, you know, and they want to do a lot. I want to become hafiz. I want to pray. I want to do this. I want to commit to a miftah course or this course. They get so excited. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the sahaba, you know, recognize that from the beginning. Qaribu wasaddidu. You know, like, take it easy, stay consistent. Mm-hmm. No one goes to Jannah because of their extensive good deeds. The companion says, "Qalu wala anta ya Rasulullah." How about you? "Qala wala ana illa in yataghammadani Allah bi rahmatin min wa fadlin." Allah's mercy has to shower upon me for me to make it to Jannah. And that's the beautiful thing. Sheikh, I missed the first 20 minutes, I apologize. But the fact that we can do something consistently, and they can, and then we build up on it. And I think the consistency is we talked about that already a little bit in the past. But something small, like Islam, like, is so simple. You don't have to do so much to enter Jannah.
SubhanAllah, that's the same way Sheikh Dawood started.
So go ahead.
Yeah, no, you're right. Bajin, you could continue. But that's the same. When I asked Sheikh Dawood, you know, what he thought about istiqama, he said the same thing. You know, actually,
we should ask you, Sheikh, since you joined us late, what's the first thing that pops into your mind when you hear this hadith? One word, not a whole sentence or a paragraph. One word. What's the first thing that pops into your mind?
The first word,
Like the first thing that pops into your mind.
It's a good question.
So. I can't answer anymore because Sheikh Lawal already answered, so I know what his answer was. So my mind is not thinking like that.
I mean, I it's not dhikr.
Dhikr? Yeah, Sheikh Dawood said miswak. He said first thing that comes to his mind is miswak. So for you, is dhikr. SubhanAllah. Yes. I mean, like, the idea, I mean, like what Sheikh Dawood was saying, if I can just continue on that same wavelength, that the idea is when a good deed becomes consistent, when a person does it, he or she doesn't even realize that they're doing something great. And that becomes the epitome of sincerity. Someone was mentioning in the chat that if I don't understand that it's a great good deed, and if it becomes second nature, do I still get the reward of it? Yes, that you worked so hard on it that now it's become second nature. So you will still get the reward of it. And these athletes, they do certain things so much that now when it's difficult to do, it's still easy for them to do it. So when a person commits themselves to doing a good deed with consistency, like you were saying, Sheikh, something small, and now when they become older or they're challenged with other things, that same deed is still easy for them to do because they've been doing it with such consistency. It's like Kobe Bryant playing and he's shooting 500 shots if he loses a game. Now, when he's playing in the NBA Finals, when he has a hand in front of his face, he still feels confident to make that shot. Now, even though a person is challenged with different challenges, they'll still feel confident to do that, even though people are watching them, they have the foot in the sink, or they're praying in the corner. It's okay, because they've done it with such consistency that now it's easy for them to do it, and they don't even notice people's stares and glances. It's like, whatever, I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing. And that's the beauty of consistency, right? And if I can add to that, just generally, like the Prophet ﷺ was not commanded to be consistent specifically in amal. He was commanded to be consistent on this path of iman. فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتْ وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ وَلَا تَطْغَى. Like this ayah, the Prophet ﷺ was once asked why he had white hairs, 14 white hairs, 17 white hairs in his beard. And he said that one of the verses that have made my beard, some of the hair turn white. Bajan, stop. Why are you looking at your beard for? You have no white hair, man.
Stop. You're young, man. You're young. You're so young right now.
He's like Nick, little beta. Mashallah.
Wrong way to go to white, man.
No, white hair is a sign of wisdom, so it's okay. But he said that it was one of the ayat that made my hair turn white is this ayah. فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ. That I want, O Prophet of Allah, I'm commanding you to stay consistent to the extent that you have been ordered. So like you can't fall back at all. Like whatever you have been told, you gotta do it at that level. بَلِّغْ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ وَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلْ فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَتَ. One is to, yeah, I'm doing it. No, do it the same way you were told in the beginning. You know, and when I think about this ayah, I think about the concept of marriage, for example. When a person first gets married, how excited are they? How much, you know, such joy and happiness, right? Excitement. Now, after a few years, it might go a little less. It might go a little down. Allah is telling the Prophet ﷺ, the same type of excitement you had when you first heard this message and when you first started praying tahajjud, or when you first walked into the masjid after many years of being away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or when you first started praying salat after many years being away, that feeling, that excitement, that jolt of iman that you felt, you need to continue feeling that throughout your life and stay consistent on that so that you can continue experiencing that feeling. كَمَا أُمِرْتَ. Don't let it fall. And some scholars say, my father, Hafidhullah, he reminded me that one of his teachers told him that it's not the فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ part which made the Prophet go old. But rather, it's وَمَنْ مَعَكَ. That not only do you need to be consistent, the way that you live should be in such a manner that others become consistent because of you. Like your presence makes other people become consistent. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ. And the way that a person falls out of consistency, the way that a person falls away from the track of consistency is when they change their environment and companionship. وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. Don't turn towards those that are oppressors. Don't turn towards them. Don't be with them. Because if you're with them, you're going to be affected by them. So to be consistent, be with the people of consistency and build that community together. Build that environment together, right? So it's not just about, like, I'm consistent. Your consistency should affect the people around you. And not just like how your marriage, you were happy the first day, the same type of happiness you had, you need to have it throughout your life. The same type of feeling we had the first time we prayed, we should continue trying to experience that through doing the small a'mal that Sheikh Dawood was talking about. Sheikh, I just went on that tangent because the first thing I thought about when I heard of consistency is this ayah, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتْ. And it's not like, but again, the word istiqama comes from qama, from bab istif'al. For those of you Miftah Online students, I know I'm, you know, I love the Arabic language. Istiqama, the idea is you're seeking to be consistent. So the word itself is telling us that we can never be consistent. But just because we can never reach that level doesn't mean that we stop seeking it. Yeah. And just seeking it gives us the reward of it. It's very rare. Just seeking it gives us the reward of being consistent. Istiqama. Just seeking that type of steadfastness. May Allah at least allow us to live with that mindset of seeking these types of qualities and hopefully bringing them into our life slowly but surely. Sheikh, I apologize to go on that tangent, but
it's all good. I think there's two things I kind of analyzed there as you're speaking. First of all, it's very interesting you brought marriage into it. So I have a question. How long have you been married?
Me? Ooh, that's a good question, Sheikh. I mean, I've been married for a year and a half.
You actually forgot?
No, something like that. It's been a year and a half.
Okay, so that's why I knew it had to be a short amount of time because You're like, you know, when you get married, you know, 5 years, 10 years down the line, you got to bring that passion back into it. And I'm like, he's still new in his marriage.
Fairly new, man. I'm still trying to bring that passion back.
Second observation is you were like, you know, in your marriage, you know, you have to do all of that and then it rubs off on the people around you, right? So you're going to lead by example and they're naturally... Are you trying to give your wife an indirect message?
Maybe a direct message.
I'm just messing. Forgive me if you take offense to it.
I gotta try to give advice in any way I can, you know, nowadays, you know.
No, you're absolutely right, SubhanAllah. You know, istiqama is a huge part. It's a huge aspect of it. This is exactly what I was saying before, right? But istiqama in everything that you find easy for you from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam takes you the distance. And that's why for me, I told you, whenever I hear this hadith since I was a teenager, the first thing that pops into my mind is miswak. Because it's so easy to simply do some of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And many of us have learned about these things since we were children, but we forgot about them, right? And some of that forgetfulness is we still do them subconsciously, not realizing that we're doing it because we learned and we worked hard and implemented it in our lives, like putting on your right shoe first, for example. And some of it is actually a bad thing that we forgot about the simplicity of the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Like, you know, how many times every single person gets up in the morning, everyone who has a beard, for example, is combing their beard, making sure, hopefully they're combing it, making it look nice, right? Yeah, or they're combing, nice. Yeah, they're combing their hair, you know, or, you know, whether you're a brother or your sister, you know, you're doing your hair, you're at home, whatever, alhamdulillah, you know, you're putting on your hijab, you're putting on your thobe, you're putting on your clothes. We should be thinking that I'm doing this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not doing this for like someone outside. I'm doing this beautifying myself for Allah, preparing myself for Allah. This was the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when we get into that mind frame and we continue to do that, it's those little deeds that we completely, you know, sort of forgot about that we're doing them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we got into that routine of doing it, that inshallah ta'ala will be those deeds that really elevate us in status in the hereafter. It's just so simple, but it takes practice. It takes dedication. It takes desire to want to do it. And I think, you know, Sheikh, if you remember from our lecture right before Ramadan started, I was telling the people, just do one thing. Just do one new thing this month of Ramadan. Yep. Like something simple that you can implement in your life and maintain for 30 days and then just maintain it for the next 11 months. But if you try and say, you know what, I'm going to do a juz a day and that person doesn't even recite like a page a day, and they want to recite a juz a day now every day for a whole year, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen, right? So if you didn't recite a page a day, then recite a page a day throughout the month of Ramadan and establish that for a year. Next Ramadan, do 3 pages a day. you know, and that's it. And then that's how we increase. That was the way of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum.
SubhanAllah. Bijan, I was going to ask you, Sheikh Dawood, and the entire audience. First, I ask you, what's one act, and I mean, you, if you want to answer, you can. If you don't want to, of course, you don't have to. What's one deed in the last 12 months, since last Ramadan until now, that you think, since COVID happened, you know, we've been able to bring with consistency? Sheikh Dawood, you can answer too if you want to. What's something new that we started doing with, you know, I guess more consistency, and we've been seeing the benefit of it?
Sheikh Dawood, he's a guest. He's going to be answering all these questions.
And the audience can also answer, inshallah.
Bhaijaan.
So one thing that you've added.
Hello, Bhaijaan. Bolo, Bhaijaan.
Bhaijaan, comment ça va? Ça va bien?
Oui, tout est bien, alhamdulillah. Ah, mashallah, vous parlez français aussi. Très bien.
Je parle français, comme c'est comme ça.
Alhamdulillah, mashallah. Sheikh, you're not supposed to speak French online because French is a language of love and romance.
Oh,
you gotta be careful.
That's sweet.
Alhamdulillah. So what was the question again?
My question was, like, in the last 12 months, like since last Ramadan till now, what's something new that you've been able to bring in since COVID, and you've been doing it with consistency, and you've been able to see a benefit in it, and like now you want to keep doing it?
Spending a little more time at home with the family.
Man, he took the words out of my mouth.
Yeah, because last Ramadan, that's exactly what it was. And alhamdulillah, you know, I told myself last year, I was like, I want Ramadan to be like this every year.
I can't connect with that. So I'll let you guys take that one. Alhamdulillah.
No, you're right. Like, I've never spent this much time with my kids since COVID started. Teaching them Quran, and just the consistency has helped at home. I mean, other than that, Ufti Abdul Wahab, what you have kept me consistent with Miftah, this life.
The good of Allah, listening to Miftah for a whole year. Let's get a few more answers. For me,
actually,
Bijan,
I have another one, subhanAllah. So I used to be regular at being in the masjid for Fajr. And when the pandemic started, I am regular at praying Fajr at home. But... okay, so don't look at it as in a bad way.
Yeah, it's COVID.
No, it's not COVID. I could actually still go to the masjid. But what I realized is sometimes as imams, we spend so much time with the community and giving to the community and going and teaching and always being there. Alhamdulillah, our daughters, like, they're 7 and 10 years old, and they've woken up for Fajr every single day since the pandemic started. Mm-hmm. And we pray Fajr together as a family. So if I could say, like, the number one thing that I'm happy for our family is that as a family, every single day we're up for Fajr. And I feel like if we, as especially as fathers, forget about imams or anything, as fathers, if we're not going to be there to make sure that our children are establishing Fajr, then we're missing out.
Imam Dawood, Sheikh Dawood, I wanted to ask you, you know, when you talk about consistency, people are consistent, like, in wrong. A lot of things we do consistently wrong. Like, you know, people who smoke, they have to smoke after dinner, like, you know, after food. Like, you're consistent about that act. You know, people who drive fast, they consistently drive fast, you know? So when it comes to wrong, we're consistent. So we have the ability to be consistent in certain things, whether it's right or wrong. I think I want your perspective. What is that magnetic factor that makes a person feel like, I don't want to miss this option again. I don't want to lose this opportunity. Like, what is that one thing that could be the cheat code to consistency? Like, what would you recommend?
I think that question requires a deep answer. Like, the way I understand it, if I'm understanding your question properly, is that a person really needs to develop a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that desire, just like they have an addiction to, like, their phone or an addiction to a cigarette or an addiction to anything else. If you're addicted to wanting to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in something good, that requires taqwa. Mm. That requires that special link between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if a person isn't going to polish that connection and make sure that line is never clogged, it's always, you know, it's easy, smooth link between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it's probably going to be very difficult to establish something that brings you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
100%. 100%.
And you know, the beautiful thing about the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that the more we do good deeds, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for us. So people always come and ask me this question. They're like, you know, I have a really difficult time letting go of the small sins that I do. What can I do to stop that? Like, I have bad habits. And I tell them, do more good deeds. Because the more we do good deeds, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, banks, you know, rewards for us, but He removes the sins. And as the sins are being removed, you know, that's purification. It's tazkiyah. And the heart is being purified. The book of deeds is being purified. And we constantly are doing good deeds, right? So we naturally...
You basically summarize, ittaqillah haythuma kuntu wa atbi' sayyid al-hasan tamhuwa wa khaliq al-nazim.
But even in the ayah of fastaqim kama umirta, the ayah after that actually says, innal hasanat yudhibna sayyi'at.
Yudhibna sayyi'at.
So in some mufassirun, generally the way we translate this is that good deeds remove the effect of sins. اتبع سيئة الحسنة تمحوها. But some of us don't go to the extent that saying, which you know, which is fairly you know, an attractive understanding of it. إن الحسنات يذهبن السيئات. باب إفعال, that the good deeds actually push away the desire of doing sins.
Yeah.
They actually push away that desire, that because I became consistent with something good, that good deed will naturally push that desire of the sin away from us.
Yeah.
Like now we don't want to do it, right? Now we don't want to even think about it. Like it's just gone. يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ ذَلِكَ ذِكْرَى لِلذَّاكِرِينَ. Allah said, that's the way you start thinking about how to push away sins. Just start something good. The man came to the Prophet and said, my friend over here steals a lot. The Prophet said, does he pray salat? Yes, he prays. He said, كَادَ أَنْ يَمْنَعُهَا. Like perhaps very soon that salat will prevent him from stealing.
Yeah.
Right? So staying consistent with that one good deed will allow you to stop doing many other things. But yeah, when you ask that question of what you know pushes you or motivates you towards,
like I don't want to miss it. Like I
think for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like anything else, it's إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the answer. He says the first thing that a person needs to have is قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ. They need to understand that our Lord is Allah. Just like how a person goes to work every single morning at 8 a.m., knowing that this is my source of risk in this world. I have to go. Just like how a person goes to school at 7:30, knowing that this is my education. I have to go. قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ. That this is my Rabb. The first relationship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes with human beings is the relationship of Rabb and Abd. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, before you're a father, before you're a teacher, before you're a mother, before you're a sister, you are an Abd. And being an Abd is the greatest feeling. Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi. In huwa illa abdun an'amna alayhi. Every prophet felt special to be an Abd of Allah. So the relationship of, ya Allah, you are the Rabb and I am the Abd. And by me being the abd, I will continue seeking help for ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, i.e. consistency. Like, why do we Muslims that already have hidayah seek hidayah 17 times in a day? Like, why? We already have guidance. We're not really seeking hidayah. Qatada rahimullah says, when we say ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, we're seeking istiqama. We already have hidayah. We're seeking istiqama and that hidayah. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana. وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. So the first thing we have to establish, someone was asking recommendation of how to have istiqama, is establish that relationship of I need to understand that Allah is my Rabb and I am the Abd. That's the easy part. Then Allah says the hard part is ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ. It takes some time to build that relationship. ثُمَّ tells us that there's some ta'khir. It takes time to marinate that relationship. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ. Then they find consistency. And when they find that consistency, Allah says, that's it. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَ. Angels will be with them to help them. Angels will protect them in this world. And even in the Akhirah, the angels will say, hey, أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبِشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ. Now you got Jannah. Jannah didn't come from قَالَتِ الْأَعْرَابُ آمَنَّا. Jannah came from ولكن قولوا أسلمنا ولما يدخل الإيمان في قلوبكم وإن تطيعوا الله ورسوله. Once we start truly understanding that the greatest relationship in my life is Allah's relationship with me. And now we start building it up. We start feeling excited. Just like how that story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, you know, when the angel said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, you know, Ibrahim alayhi salam was Khalilullah, but now he has so much in his life. فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ You've already given all his tests. He's passed all the tests. Now he doesn't, you know, now he's in a different time in his life. He doesn't, you know, he's still Khalid, but not at that level. Allah said, no, just go test him. So the angels come down to the earth. It's in Ibn Kathir. And they say, while Ibrahim alayhi salam is with his flock, the angels come down and say the name of Allah. They say, Allah, the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim alayhi salam hears it, and he goes to those angels, not knowing that they're angels, and he says, can you say that name again?
Subhanallah.
Can you say that name again? I want to hear that name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say, what will you give us if we say it again? You know, what will you give us to hear the name of Allah? وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ اشْمَأَزَّتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ When these people hear the name of Allah, you know, they every single one of them, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنَ ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ Their hearts get very excited. He says, I will give you my entire herd if you say the name of Allah again. They say the name of Allah. Then he said, please say it again. So what are you going to give us now? So I'll take you to my house. Whatever's in my house, I'll give it to you. Well, they go there. He says the name of, they say the name of Allah again. Then he says, say it one more time. They say, what will you give us if we say it again? He says, I have nothing left with me. I will become your abd. And you can use me or you can free me. So the idea is to feel excited to hear the name of Allah. And it's a responsibility of parents. Just like how parents make the kids feel excited when a show is coming on. Or when they make the kids feel excited when the grandparents are coming home. Or when they make the kids feel excited when something is happening, like, you know, whatever it is. We have to make the kids feel excited when it's time to recite the Quran. Or when it's time to do ta'aleem. The thumma istaqamu comes after we know that Allah is the greatest relationship that we have, more important than anything else. We can compromise everything, but we should try our best to not compromise this. That's the connection of Rabbuna Allah, thumma istaqamu. So hopefully it can bring some benefit to us. Going back to Sheikh Dawood's point, like what is one small deed that you would encourage everyone to do to bring consistency in their life?
I mean, you on fire, brother. Would you have like some spicy pakora, some
muscle? I was going to go get my popcorn. I was like, mashallah, I'll kick back.
I apologize.
Forget man. Saturday Night Live. This is like Ramadan Night Live.
This is Netflix Prime. Alhamdulillah. I was like, wow, mashallah. Of the Duhab. I love that story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Where'd you get that from? Ibn Kathir?
Yes, there's Al-Bidayah wa Nihayah.
Man, I thought you had some big pockets. You're making up your own stories, but that's a good story, man. That's a great story.
You know, I like his answer to you. You're like, where'd you get that from? He's like, yeah, it's there, man. You didn't
it's
read
there
it.
Somewhere. You got to find it now. I can't tell you everything.
You just didn't read it, man. Go back and read the books again.
I'll tell him a story he never read. You know, Ibrahim alayhi salam, angel of death comes to him. And time to go, Ibrahim. So Ibrahim alayhi salam says to the angel of death, Har ra'aytu khalilan yaqtulu khalila. Have you ever seen a friend? I don't know, I'm acting. Have you ever seen a friend kill a friend?
Yeah, you are, but that's fine.
Okay. He says, have you seen a friend kill a friend? And can you mute yourself, Mr. Hub?
Yeah, I got it. Go ahead.
Yeah. Someone says, have you ever seen a friend kill a friend? So angel goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Ibrahim, you sent me to take his soul, and he's saying this, have you ever seen a friend yaqtulu khalila? So Allah sends back a message to Ibrahim, Har ra'aita khalilan yaqra'u liqa'a khalili. Have you ever seen a friend not desiring them to meet his friend? يَقْرَوْ لِقَاءَ خَلِيلِي. And Ibrahim said, it's time to go.
SubhanAllah, that was beautiful, man.
It's time to go.
Sheikhuna, I think everyone wants to hear from you, Sheikh. So before we end up closing this session, please give us some, lasting advice on how to actually, you know, try to bring this quality into our life and just motivate us a little bit more. If you can, please, and inshallah, they'll get motivated by you. Inshallah, we'll continue making dua for you, and then we'll have more Sheikh Dawood fanboys, or you know, fan sisters, whatever it is.
So the students and those that are watching need to understand as well. Sometimes too much is not good, right? Mm-hmm. we need to keep it simple. Alhamdulillah. I know I'm looking at it. They're like, no, no, no. He's waiting for the right moment. No, no, more gems. No, you have enough gems. Alhamdulillah. The point of this hadith was the fact that it was short and sweet, but powerful and direct. And that's exactly it. You know, find a thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with and stick to it, right? Wow. Exactly what you were saying, Shaykh, you know, istiqama, a lot of the time people think of it as, yeah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions Hud wa akhawatuha, right? The surah Hud and its sister surahs are what made his hair turn gray. But subhanallah, you know, Muslims are like, no, I need to do more. You're not going to be at the level of the Sahaba overnight, right? Mm. And in fact, we're not ever going to be at the level of the Sahaba. We try and we aspire and we keep working at it, right? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned about us at this time, this day and age that we're at. You know, people who believe in him and follow his message, right? The Quran that came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and follow his sunnah, we never even met him. And his desire to meet us and his dua for us is so powerful, right? So when we think of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his sunnah, really, my advice to all of us, myself included, is keep it simple. The deen is simple. And I remember, subhanAllah, our teachers used to tell us, if you try and shoot for the stars and you didn't start somewhere down low, like, you'll never reach the stars. You always need to start somewhere small. You know, take those baby footsteps. Look at the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, was teaching them a little bit at a time, right? Mm-hmm. بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. Convey something from me, even if it's something small, right? And that's the point, is just keep it simple, right? It's the KISS rule that I've had my whole life, right? What? Keep it simple. Got you there, Sheikh. You haven't been married long enough.
Marriage class, man. Like, this is another marriage class.
These French people, man, they got the romance. The romance.
You got the romantic.
You just got to keep it super simple. KISS, keep it super simple.
Oh, man.
No, that's amazing. That's great advice. My advice to my youngsters, or my students, even myself, was like...
Youngsters, you say it like you're an ancient man or something.
Man.
Bazook.
That's why they call you Baijan.
I say youngsters. You know, I say to my youngster friends that Quran, even Quran, because the month of Ramadan, falling in love with the Qari, a voice, a recital, you know, and you won't be forced to. Like, we're in an age, in the time when Sheikh Dawood and we were in Canada studying at the boarding school. Like, people, and Sheikh Dawood, he was one of those good students that would wake up on time, study everything on time. But me, I was a little different, you know, a little different. I needed some, you see the screw? I need screw tightening, you know? So it's, the thing is, back in the days, you can force the child, you know, read Quran, you know, and if you don't, you're going to get the miswak, you know? You know,
only the miswak. What about the broomstick?
The thing is, I don't want the child protective services going after the school, so I'm just saying miswak. They don't understand the
school is closed now.
You know,
different address.
We'll send them to another masjid in Toronto. So the reality is that you can't force children to read Quran anymore. You know, it's a different era. Like, you know. I mean, the type of technology, attractions they have now, Sheikh Dawood, still, you do a great job with your children, but it's now you have to do it. The prophetic way to do it is through love. It's through love, you know, and compassion. And you doing it, then them doing it. So my one of my youth, you know, one of my students at the school, and he was struggling with the Quran, and then he fell in love with a reciter. Or fell in love with, you know, some poem. Like, even if you fell in love with them for some of the Miftah programs, you felt like you're attracted to a subject. Like, I love Shama'il. Say you love Shama'il. Just get hooked onto Shama'il. You love Sira. Get hooked onto Sira. You love Quran Tafsir. Get hooked onto Quran Tafsir. You love some things about, like, belief in Aqidah. Like, something you can learn from. Now, that's a subject that you have, you're intrigued to that subject. Get hooked onto something you're naturally intrigued to. You know? And that will occupy you in such a way that you just do it naturally. When you're in the car, the Quran is playing. When you're at home, you're thinking about the next surah. So it just becomes part of your lifestyle, and it becomes your istiqamah mode. Mm. And you're traveling on the airplane. Just subhanAllah, you know, like people are consistent with their coffee. They need coffee in the morning. I mean, you could do something like that with some surah or something. Hopefully, with all the new options that we have, it's so much easier to read Quran. Everything is all around us, but we just have to be able to have the, you know, the iman and the commitment to it. So inshallah, I just feel like falling in love with it. Like, you know, I feel like people who are watching Miftah, they're just like, they're addicted to it. That's what it is. You know, like they're learning from Sheikh Dawood, from Mufti Abdul Wahab, Mufti Abdul Rahman, and they're like, oh man, this, I can't miss this. You don't even know what hit you. The shaitan doesn't even know what happened to you guys. Shaitan is confused. He's like, what is happening? Like, these guys are watching, they're laughing and they're learning. Shaitan be confused, okay, you know? You know, so that's the consistency. Shaitan can't mess with you if you're consistent, inshallah. Like, you have it, you have your game down, and you're supposed to stay consistent. Like, it doesn't end when you're 60. Like what Sheikh Dawood's doing today, 20, 40 years from now, inshallah, he'll be doing the same thing. It's all the way. وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكُمْ مَا يَقُولُونَ فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. A lot of times people become inconsistent. When Donald Trump became the supreme leader of the world, you know, people were like, oh no, Donald the duck has come. You know, everybody's going to go quack, quack. You know, everybody's going to run away from Islam. No.
Did you just start?
You know, like nothing. Same thing would happen like after 9/11. People were so scared. What's gonna happen? Nothing's gonna happen. You know, just stay consistent. Those who were consistent in those times, you know, you Habib Najjar, same thing. You're consistent to the death. Things won't change you. Situations, climate, politics won't change you. You will be tested. Inshallah, Allah wants to give us istiqamah. You know, like, think about what the other people had to go through, the Sahaba. Like, you know, when they come, like, أَلَا تَسْتَنْصُرُنَا أَلَا تَدْعُونَا. Like, well, think about what they had to go through to stay consistent. We don't have to go through much. We just have to do something, like Sheikh Dawood keeps on saying, something simple, something that we love, something that we're committed to. Don't oversay it. Don't overdo it. Just like the narration. Thank you. I'm sorry, I went on a little bit.
You actually just reminded me of something, and maybe, you know, this will probably be the last thing that I say, inshallah, because it's getting pretty late. You know, sometimes we just need to be, as students of knowledge, and we all are students of knowledge, I tell the students all the time, you know, don't consider me some imam or sheikh, consider me a student of knowledge, just like you. We're studying together. I've studied some things that I'm sharing with you. You're going to study some things you're going to share with me. Yeah. And that's exactly it, is that we keep taking these steps. You know, if you think back to when you started memorizing Quran or you started learning the deen, now everyone looks at like the so-called final product, right? And they're like, mashallah, tabarakallah, we want to be like, you know, Sheikh Abdul Wahab. We want to have like, you know, the white turban on our head, and we want to have the long hair, like the sunnah, mashallah, and his beard is glowing, and like there's nur, just like he doesn't even have lights on the background. That's the nur naturally coming off of him.
That will make you feel insecure.
You know, but subhanAllah, you think of the hard work and dedication that went into it. Years of sacrifice to do what? Like one day was one ayah. And I tell this to our students. You remember back in the day in Ajax, right? When we were like, our tajweed class was on Saturday. I would sit with one ayah a week. And students are like, well, you know, how can I perfect my recitation? I'm like, okay, so I'm going to teach you one ayah, and I'm not going to let you go to a next ayah until you can perfect the recitation of that ayah. And they're like, what do you mean? How long? One ayah? Shouldn't we do one page? I'm like, no, one ayah. And I tell him, I go, when I was young, when we were in Ajax, it was one ayah per week. Oh, wow. And you start off with, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. And you know what, subhanAllah, when I went to Medina to study, I started reciting to Sheikh Ubaidullah Jabiri in Medina to Munawwara, rahimahullah, he passed away. You know, I used to sit in Masjid al-Ghamama and recite to him. Mm. And every single student that was like, oh, you're going to start reciting to the Sheikh, he's not going to let you go past the, you know, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم in the first week. And you'd be blessed if you finish Surah Al-Fatiha in a month. And that's going to recite to him 5 to 6 days a week.
Wow.
Right? And subhanAllah, you know, I went to recite to him. I sat down, first day, started reciting, finished Surah Al-Fatiha. And I'm looking at him like, is he going to tell me off? Is he going to like tell me to start over? Is he going to say, okay, go and come back tomorrow? Mm-hmm. He's like, Akmil, like, keep going. I'm like, what do you mean, keep going? He's like, mashallah, qira'atik jayyid. I'm like, what? Are you for real? And you know what? I left and I went with my roommate. We're going back to the jamia. And I told him, I said, it's because of those days and weeks and months of just doing one ayah a week. Just one ayah a week. And that's what it takes, is like one small step at a time. Years pass really quickly. And subhanAllah, before you know it, you're 40 years old, but you studied so many books, you sat with so many teachers, you traveled to so many countries, you acquired so much knowledge. Alhamdulillah, it's a blessing from Allah, but you just need to take that one step. And that's exactly, you know, the hadith that we're talking about. It's just do something and start somewhere.
Subhanallah, Sheikh. Majan, Jazakallah khair, Majan, and Sheikh Dawood. Adwamuha. Majan, adwamuha comes from dawam. Just do it forever. Dawam. Just do it forever. Don't stop. Yeah. And I would say, just the same way you want to bring good deeds with istiqama, don't do sins with istiqama. That is also a good deed. Don't do a sin with istiqama. Mm. If we're used to doing sins, let's break it up a little bit more. Yeah. Just break it up. If we're doing it every day, do it every other day. Change your routine. Slowly that sin will fall off. Sheikh, before we leave, you have to read some Quran for us. Bismillah. Please.
Yeah, yeah, but Sheikh.
No. Sheikh Abdullah reads every day. He reads Quran for us every day.
So, like, I've been speaking for the last few hours since what? Before Iftar, since Asr, and it's 1:05 in the morning. You want me to recite Quran? I'm going to sound like, you know.
No, I've never heard you.
Khalas, I'll recite Surah Al-Fatiha. Keep it nice and sweet, inshallah.
So, how about Surah Qadr? Inna anzalnahu fi lailatul qadr.
بسم الله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر سلام سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر.
ما شاء الله. Sheikh, this is the first time I've heard your recitation.
No, it's not. You heard my recitation when we were 13.
You didn't sound not one.
Two, no, no, no. When I was 13, I was Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr.
No, you sound like a white boy when you came in. You were like Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. You know, because you're coming from like school. You're not brown. You know that. You are the whitest scholar in Canada. I'm just, you know. And now you sound like you're from Medina. MashaAllah.
It's that consistency, Bijan.
That was beautiful. I'm so mad I told you a small surah. Give me a long surah. But inshallah, next time we'll have some more.
Inshallah.
Everybody, please make dua for Sheikh Dawood and his family. Sheikh Dawood is an elder, a pioneer for us. The jokes that we made, I apologize if I had said anything disrespectful. I apologize. I sincerely apologize, Sheikh Dawood.
I'm good. If the students are upset, that's their problem.
But Sheikh Dawood, his daughter's YouTube page, I would love you guys to check it out. I checked it out myself, and I showed my kids. That's great parenting, great example, and great leadership from the girls. Are your kids around?
No, they're in bed. They're in bed.
Oh, I'm going to let you go then. Sheikh Dawood.
God bless for your love.
Allah bless you. That will be
inshallah.
We'll see you more on Iftah.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. We'll see you soon, inshallah.
Please give us that to your family.
We'll do. Take care. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Right before we end, we're just going to ask the audience if they're okay with from tomorrow on. Inshallah, we start our program at 12:30. Inshallah. Is that okay with you, Bijan?
Yeah. I don't want to hold Sheikh Dawood back. I want to let him because he's going to be on for too long. It's too late there, 1 o'clock. But we start at 1:15?
Not 1:15, 12:30 rather than 12 o'clock. If the audience is okay with it, we'll start at 12:30 from tomorrow, inshallah. Is everyone okay with that?
I mean, 12 o'clock, is it difficult for you?
Just because you have khatam the next 2-3 days.
You know, when you have khatam Quran, don't do it. Just take a break.
Okay, khalas. Whatever you say, Bijan.
Let's do it tomorrow. Let's decide tomorrow. Let's keep it 12 o'clock tomorrow.
Okay, inshallah, that's fine.
Let's keep it 12 o'clock. What are the audience saying?
The audience saying 12:30 is fine.
12:30 is fine?
Yeah.
All right. If the audience is 12:30 is fine, what are we going to do?
We'll leave it to 12 because that's what we committed to. And inshallah, if we change it, we'll let you know, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. That's a good point, Bijan.
So where are you going?
I'm just about to end the broadcast.
All right, thank you. Stay healthy.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. May Allah bless everyone for joining. Inshallah. 12 o'clock tomorrow, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.